B3. Number 10A.
Really, in order to understand John Dolly's line of practice, one must understand what Mrs. Eddy means with divine mind reading. You see, up to that period of Big Noel Young, and especially with John Dolly, we always had the question of evil versus good, that duality. Always the question, evil serves as a waymark to good. How? The wrong answer was always by reversing the claim of evil and exchanging the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Just as I have told you yesterday, that they were always starting from at the wrong beginning, namely with effect and not with cause, with the phenomena, the evil phenomena, not with the cause from where this evil manifestation came from. We took yesterday that short article from Mrs. Eddy, Rectification, where she showed that that reversal means reversing that process which had first inverted God. So, because that was never seen, the practice was always to reason from the problem to idea, and therefore never really were touching the right idea in order to solve the problem. How then should we go about in order to see what is the specific idea about the specific error? Not by reversing the specific error and replacing it through the specific idea. That's wrong. The rectification is that we see a specific error is the outcome of a false deduction from God, from mind. It's a false deduction. It's a false line of reasoning where instead of translating God to man, we are translating God into its opposite, into an erroneous situation. It's a wrong translation taking place. Therefore, that must be rectified. All right. Now, how can we do that? We can only do that by starting all over again from God and see that we find the right deduction. Therefore, the rectification and reversal starts by going out now from mind, and mind being aware of its own nature as ideas of mind, and therefore stay in that realm where mind is conscious only of the ideas of mind and contemplates only the ideas of mind, is aware only of the ideas of mind. Then we read with mind, with the divine mind. We read what? We read ideas. Never a false situation. Never. Because mind has no knowledge of anything outside of itself. Mind is unaware of any evil, of any error, of any disease. Does not know it. So you can say, but how does this rectify a specific error? By the law of opposites. That's what we had yesterday, to show that an error is never a counterfact, that error is never a happening, is never an object, is never a place, is never a person, is never a thing that has entity per se. It's always only a misunderstanding about mind's own understanding of itself. Therefore, if we start out with mind and reckon along the line of mind's idea, by the law of opposite, that divine mind analyzes and uncovers the belief in an opposite. It is like going to a concert with a cultured sense of music. You culture that sense of music is pure, is harmonious, and that harmonious sense, without becoming inharmonious, can detect by the law of opposite that which does not conform with that harmony. And in that way, harmony detects inharmony without knowing inharmony. But it just registers that which is not in accord with harmony. This leads to what Mrs. Eddy calls divine mind reading, which is able to read the human mind. So you see, divine mind reading has two facets. Primarily, it is what we have seen yesterday, and as I quoted yesterday, divine mind reading is really the revelation of reality, the ideas of reality, thinking only in the realm of ideas, and by the law of opposites, now we come to the other side of the coin, that harmonious realm of ideas, by the law of identity, which does not allow anything that is not identical with that realm, does not allow it to exist, detects the opposite, and therefore can annul the opposite. In this way it reads erroneous mind. Is that clear? I always feel, whenever I try to show that gives quite a bit of difficulty in the student. So it is always divine mind reading. If we say we can read mortal mind with the divine mind, then let's be clear that this is not a direct process, but an indirect process. Directly, mind can only read its own ideas. Then indirectly, by taking in the law of opposites, it detects all that is opposite, contrary to those ideas, and therefore reads mortal mind. But this is something else than mortal mind reading. Can you make that distinction too now? Mortal mind reading is if with our mortal mind we read other people's thought, telepathy. It is the mediumistic sense which enables a medium to read with mortal mind another mortal mind. That's something completely different. This is mortal mind reading, that direct mortal mind reading, reading the thoughts of others, the thoughts of those who are far away, is an ability that usually primitive people, primitive races had and still in some places still have. Primitive people could read what somebody else was thinking miles and miles away. For them that was no difficulty whatever. We lost that ability because we didn't need it and because it's not really something progressive. It's much easier to read the whole book and the whole library than to try to read the thoughts of mortals that have passed on long before. So, within the realm of mortal mind, those who are trained in the mortal mind can read mortal mind. This is mortal mind reading. With mortal mind, we can never read reality. Mortal mind reading can never know what is real. Therefore, they cannot read reality. But divine mind reading reads both reality and, through the law of opposites, also mortal mind. Therefore, the more I think each one of us really is engaged in thinking along the lines of the synonymous terms, not only thinking along that, but makes it a life commitment, And so that mind becomes a natural, always more and more a natural state of consciousness, the more one can read the attitude of other people, the thought of other people. It sticks out like an iceberg that sticks out from under the water. A lot of it is under the water, one can't see, but it sticks out and says, that's how it is actually. So don't believe everything what they say, it's that which is that really matters. And you get that sense, more and more that cultured sense, that one is no more so easily fooled by what's going on. One can read mortal mind, but only from the point of view of divine mind. Now, is that clear? We have to be absolutely clear about this in order to see what John Dole's line of treatment then meant when I say it. Shall I summarize again? Huh? Well, you see, huh? It's not so clear. You have divine mind reading. What is that? A divine mind only knows itself, ideas, and therefore only reads reality directly. It lives in the realm of ideas. It lives in the contemplation of ideas. It lives in the awareness of only ideas. Second, this divine mind reading, when translated to the level of human mind, the erring mind, does what? By the law of opposite, that one mind brings out through the law of opposite the error that is contrary to the divine mind. Therefore, it reads the erroneous human mind, but only through the law of opposites. Just always think of a musician. That divine mind does not know the erroneous mind. Only by the law of opposite within us, the error of the human mind stands out, is uncovered. Third, there is mortal mind reading, which is mortal mind reading mortal mind. One mortal mind reading another mortal mind. That mortal mind can never read reality. I think this is now the summary. If you want to know more about it, practically everything is in the chapter on spiritualism in the second part, where she speaks from the point of view of principle. It's there. She gives there many pages on divine mind reading, mortal mind reading, and explains the difference between them. Now, this is a theory. Practice would be to use that theory and not another theory. Meaning, the practitioner, or even we, when we have a case, when we try to solve a problem, therefore would not go out from mortal mind reading. We would not go out from mortal mind reading. Not asking, therefore, mortal mind, how do you define this case? Mortal mind would say, this case is a case of tuberculosis, and this case comes because in the family they have a hereditary claim. The uncle had already tuberculosis, and it is tuberculosis that leads to death. It cannot be cured. See, that's what mortal mind reads. And therefore builds up a whole mortal mind picture. And then comes the practice. Therefore we have to use argumentation, see? And you argue against it. You argue against it. You argue that this patient does not have tuberculosis because God never made it. Therefore, because God never made it, his uncle couldn't have it. Because God has only made a law of good, there is no hereditary law. And because God is good, that man is free from tuberculosis, you would see that tuberculosis is a claim and not reality, and you would argue against the reality of tuberculosis, and you would argue that tuberculosis has no law to no law of death, that it cannot put up such a law, that law is invalid, and so on, and you would argue. Can you see what the basis is? Mortal mind. And you take mortal mind's reading as authority, and you build your whole healing practice around the false authority, around the false argument. We haven't touched the cause of that disease. That's mortal mind reading. Therefore, you can see that practically all the modern ways of healing are built on that basis. If I take psychology, psychology does the very same thing. Psychology does the same thing as most practitioners do. They say, oh yes, come in, my dear, what ails you? And the patient says, this and this ails you, and then you say, all right, so that is the case. All right, that is the problem. Now, how shall we deal with that problem? They accepted it right away, what mortal mind tells them. Isn't it so? And that's true for a psychologist and a psychiatrist and for most Christian Science practitioners. They are all in the same boat. Afterwards, they use a little bit a different method. But the basis is in all of them the very same thing. What then is divine mind reading? See, you have a case, patient comes, says, I'm tuberculosis, and says, all right, you tell that's mortal mind business and mortal mind talking. This is of no interest whatsoever to me. You can call that thing the way you like it, and especially if it is your own diagnosis, and you haven't the faintest idea what happens within that skin, within that body. You can't look through that skin and see what is in the body. It's anyway your wrong diagnosis, so what's the use of listening at all? Actually, we should not even listen what they tell us. Just sometimes our human sense of trying to be good that sometimes tempts us to talk a little bit to them and strengthen, but they never tell the truth. If they would know the truth, they wouldn't be sick. It's as simple as that. So whatever a patient says, it's always a lie. It's always a lie. Talks mortal mind business. That's why John Dolly, at the end of his year, he never listened to any talk. Just said, when somebody rang up, he said, all right, I will help you. He didn't even ask what it was. Why should we? Just to take in all that talking of mortal mind and trying to convince ourselves that mortal mind is true and that the story of mortal mind is a true story. What is divine mind reading? Divine mind reading says, don't believe a thing what mortal mind says, believe what mind says. Divine mind says. Well, divine mind does not come into our office as a patient and says, this and this ails me. It's only the patient that comes in. So we turn to the divine mind and say, all right, I'm asking divine mind. And therefore, I turn to the divine mind and say, what does mind know? What does mind know about itself? And it doesn't know anything but itself. And so my consciousness begins to dwell in the realm of mind and mind's ideas. And in the way that I entertain always clearer and clearer mind and mind's ideas, either the patient gets healed through that treatment. If not, it is a question that apparently my consciousness has not been clear enough, not definite enough, not too specific enough, and so I stay with that, or John Dolly told us, to stay with that divine mind. And he would say that if it's necessary, that through that divine mind reading, somehow, at one point, through any possible channel and ways and means, we are awakened to the opposite argument. that sticks out very clearly. Then mind has analyzed and uncovered the claims of evil. See, then we were not guessing from the human standpoint what may be the cause of evil. Was it hereditary belief? Was it infection? Was it this or that or the other? We were letting the divine mind tell us through any one way possible, and there are thousands and thousands of ways possible, to tell us what is the counterfeit belief or in this case. Then that error stands out. Then we know, at that point, we know this is the error to be treated. And then from that point on we can say, well, this is a counterfeit of an idea. Then we have touched the real counterfeit, and from there we can go right back to the true idea and therefore establish in consciousness the right idea about the case. Can you see the second phase of leading thought again from counterfeit to fact is the same process as when you do it wrongly, starting right with the belief what the counterfeit may be, without asking the divine mind what is the counterfeit, but asking the patient what it is, asking perhaps what I see with my eyes, but perhaps asking what my psychology tells me about the case, and then from there leading to the fact. Can you see? The first phase is the scientific phase. If that is not there, then the second phase is guesswork. Did you follow me? I'm not quite sure. Yes? Good. So that's divine mind reading, see? So if we put all that together now, you see how Chandoli took the best of everything and built it into his line of reasoning. What was it? And let's just go through it. He said, well, the very first thing is, therefore, if the case is presented to you, put it behind you. Don't look at it, don't try to argue about it, don't try to give it a name, don't try to believe it, what it says and what it is named. Don't believe it, just don't make anything out of it. You know that it is anyway a lie, a blunt lie. It's never a truth in it, and therefore that lie can never tell us any truth. So put it behind you, where you don't see it, where you don't argue with it, where you don't look at it, where you don't listen to it, just behind you and turn your back to it. And look into reality. So turn to the divine mind. When you turn yourself to the divine mind, what are you going to do? Then he takes in his knowledge of the seven synonymous terms. See, that was not possible in the earlier method because they didn't know what the ideas of the seven synonymous terms are. So he could start his treatment and begin to see, now what does God know about any situation? And so he would start out and go through the synonyms and he could see, all right, the truth about the situation is that mind only knows itself as idea. Therefore, mind knows man, because we have to treat the patient. We don't have to treat mind. We have to treat the patient, and the patient is now man, the idea man, and not a mortal, not a person. Therefore, we don't need to call the patient by a person. That would be a wrong treatment. Calling the person by a name and calling the disease by name is only right in the practice of argumentation. In the practice here now, you see, you can't park it in here and put it in here where mind only knows ideas. So you can't tell, and mind only knows men as ideas. So you can't tell mind what is the name of that man and what is the name of the disease. Can you see that? It's mixing up two different practices into two different theories. Well, I have to say that because I have in my notes, I have the line of treatment that is given by a director of the board of in Boston. And he takes in all that old stuff, you know, calling the patient by name and denying the name of the disease, and everything is still in it, you know. You just could put him right back into the last century. These are the people that are ruling the movement today.